Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yes, indeed. And joining me this morning is Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
We are happy to have you here, and so are our listeners as well, to answer those lawn and garden questions. We're already getting a bunch, so you'll be busy this particular hour. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, we'd love to hear you. If you want to call and chat with Teresa, or if you'd rather just send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. You know, we're getting a bunch of, in fact, I've noticed this, Teresa, the last couple of weeks of the show, questions about voles. This one in particular is a problem with voles. The texter says, we have about an acre of grass with an invisible fence all around for the golden retriever we own. Our lawn is like a sponge from all the vole tunnels. The dog tends to dig where the voles are. How can we get rid of those voles when we have an active dog in the yard? I don't think we can use traps or poison due to the dog. Now, do voles make tunnels? I thought it was moles that did that.
They both make tunnels.
Oh, okay.
The moles are more active during the summertime. But the voles are active all winter long. So they're out there tunneling under and eating the grass roots as they tunnel. And moles are a delicious snack for golden retrievers, I understand. It's on their list of the most favorite foods to eat. That's what I was reading the other day. No, I'm just joking. But that's why your dog is digging, because they're little critters, and dogs would like to chase those and eat those.
Sure.
That's why they're digging.
But is there something to do about voles?
You know, there's not much you really can do. They're like little field mice. So once the grass gets up and growing and your dog's more active out there, they're going to go somewhere else and find their food, and you won't see as much damage. But all winter long, they were protected by the snow. So they could just dig under and eat some grass roots and make their little tunnels. And that's why you don't see them in the summer. They're just busy doing other little things and more different activities. They're still eating stuff, but they're not as damaging to our lawns in the summertime.
And you're right. They do look like little field mice.
Little field mice, yeah.
Sure, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's grab a phone call this morning, Teresa. Ann, I believe, is calling in from Minneapolis this very morning. Ann, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Dead patches throughout the lawn.
Okay.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
If I dig up the dead patch, the dead grass, and just go down not very far, I'm seeing a lot of white grubs. So how do I kill or get rid of the ones that are there now, and how do I prevent them from returning later?
Okay, Anne, you've done some really good work there. So you've identified that you have a grub problem, so it's not a disease or it's not a vole problem. So that's really good. Now, if you can identify the grubs, that would be fantastic. Go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. And then once you've identified which grub it is, it shouldn't be the Japanese beetles yet, but what grub it is, that will tell you then how to treat it. And then you can go and get your treatment, the pesticide from your local nursery. That would be the best thing to do if you knew what kind of grubs it is. Or you could just go to them and maybe even bring a sample to them and say, I have these grubs in my yard. What can I do now? And they'll talk you through that, through the proper workings, depending upon which pesticide they are suggesting to use. Good luck.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, and she did a lot of good research. She did a lot of good research.
Absolutely, ahead of the game here. Now, there's a related text. My lawn has bare spots, texter says, with a lot of moss. Could jumping worms be the cause? I've come across a few.
The jumping worms could be that problem, but that's probably not the situation you're dealing with. If you have moss, it's there for a reason. It's compacted soil, low organic matter, which means your jumping worms have either taken all the organic matter or you didn't have any in there to begin with, and not a lot of fertility. And there's more moisture, or it's compacted poor fertility soil, and maybe it just doesn't get a lot of air circulation around it. So if you can change those situations, you can start growing your lawn again. And the jumping worms, they're just out there. You'll just have to deal with them. They're working on ways to get rid of them, but so far nothing is 100% and hasn't been out there for approval.
Okay. You know what you mentioned last time you were on, and I want to hear more about it, that there's a special sale happening.
There is. It's in Hennepin County. We're having our sale on May 20th. Ramsey County and Dakota County are also having their plant sale. These are plant sales. Lots of plants grown indoors by master gardeners. We've taken a special care in Minneapolis or in Hennepin County, so you won't get jumping worms. We've got a lot of natives, a lot of vegetables, lots of annual flowers, and then a lot of perennials too. But the best thing is that you will have fast master gardeners everywhere. So it's like an infestation of master gardeners. So you can find somebody to answer your questions, and we'll have an information booth too. And that's on May 20th. The Hennepin County one is at the Hopkins Pavilion. The Ramsey and Dakota County, you'll have to check where they're at, but I want to give them a plug too because we're in this together.
Okay, so it's toward the end of this coming month then?
Yep, May 20th. Yep. Or next month,
well,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll remind our listeners of that before you leave us today, and again the next time you're visiting, mm-hmm. for sure. Good
Thanks.
Deal. That sounds like fun. Here is another text I have. Texter says an 8x8, mm-hmm. for sure. Good
Thanks.
Deal. That sounds like fun. Here is another text I have. Texter says an 8x8 area of daylilies that's been taken over by snow on the mountain. My question is, if I remove the daylilies, spray Roundup in the snow on the mountain, cover the bed with cardboard, then landscape fabric for 2 years, will the soil with added amended soil be okay to put the daylilies back in 2025? Well, there's a looking ahead person.
Wow, that's a plan. You could do that. However, the read the instructions on the container of the herbicide that you're using, and it will tell you how quickly after you have used that you can replant. And I don't think you have to wait 2 years. I think you're waiting a matter of weeks on that one. So you could actually replant your daylilies in the same spot, the same season. But do read the instructions. It will tell you when you can plant seeds and when you can plant plants, because there is a difference depending upon what herbicide you use, and each one will have a different situation.
This listener says the deer have eaten off both of my large Annabelle hydrangeas to about 2 feet. Will they still recover and bloom? Should I do anything to encourage new growth?
No, your Annabelles will be just fine. They bloom on new wood, so everything that comes up this year, you'll have beautiful Annabelles. What's left over may leaf out, and those leaves and those branches may help to hold up the heads of the Annabelles because they get so big. So the deer just kind of prune them down a little bit for you, so you can leave them a tip or a thank you letter for helping you prune your hydrangeas.
Excellent. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226 for either your phone call or a text message. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back on the other side. We finally hit 40 degrees. It's going to be kind of a rainy day, a blustery day tomorrow. We'll fill you in just a matter of minutes here on News Talk 830 WCCO. On this final weekend in the month of April, we're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions this very morning. 651-461-9226. 9226. Teresa, let's grab a phone call. Barb is on the line calling in from Maplewood this morning. Barb, thank you. What is your question?
Well, I have a 30-plus-year-old. I think it's an arborvita. Is that the one with a cedar type?
Yes,
leaves?
Like with the flat evergreen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was so beautiful last fall, and it's like 30-plus years old. So the main of five trunks that come out of this tree, shrub, is so bent over from the snow and ice, the weight of it. I could never get it off in time, the ice and snow. And it is at a 90-degree angle, and we've tried to, lift it up, and but it won't budge. And do I need to just cut it down?
You know, Barb, I would give it the season if you can wait a little while. Give it a month or two. Lots of the times they'll straighten on their own. If it doesn't straighten or doesn't straighten enough, then you could contact an arborist, a certified arborist, and ask them if they could wire it, or if it's a possibility that they can help you straighten that one trunk that bent over. I'm really sorry about that. That's tough. But and then at that point, you can decide if you want to just cut out the one trunk. The others will fluff out and fill up. It won't look super good for a little while, but hopefully it can come back to some nice shape that you can live with. Good luck with that one, Barb.
That was a big problem this past season.
Yeah, when we get those heavy snows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's have another look at this text. Greetings. Good morning. Thank you. What patio plants would you recommend to keep mosquitoes away? Wow.
You know, there's a lot of things. Use plants with fragrances. So lots of the flowers will work with fragrances. And a lot of people say lemongrass and lemon-scented plants. So put some herbs and flowers out there. It'll help disguise the fragrance of you that attracts the insects. And hopefully they'll only smell the flowers and the herbs, and they won't smell you and come and get you. That's about all you can really do with plants. So yeah. Do the fragrant ones if you can handle the fragrance yourself.
Very good. This listener, Teresa, says, when is the best time to apply milky spore powder for Japanese beetle control? How long do I need to keep pets out of the area after application? So a couple of questions.
Okay, so first of all, just to kind of rain on your parade, Mark, milky spore doesn't work that well here in Minnesota. We're just too cold for too long. It just doesn't work that well. So that being said, you can still apply it. Just read the instructions. It will tell you when to apply it, what time of year, and it will tell you everything about milky spore on the package. If it does not, contact the manufacturer, because I don't want to give you the wrong information. The label is the law. So contact the manufacturer and find out from them. If it does not give you clear instructions on it, or wherever you purchased it from, go back there and say, how do I use this, and ask them questions until you get the right answers. Good luck on that.
Teresa, this listener says this, our tree service wants to trim all of our ash trees right now. It seems like it's too late in the season. What are your thoughts?
If they are a certified arborist tree service, go with them. They're okay on that. They know what they're doing, and I would say I would listen to what they're doing. They're certified, they're licensed, and if they're treating your ash trees especially, they'll know how to handle it properly. So I would listen to them if they're certified. If they're not certified, find a certified arborist. Or look at the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. That'll give you some instructions.
This listener's in Carver County and is wondering, is it too early for lawn fertilizer with crabgrass preventer?
You know, it really depends on what your lawn's doing. If the soil temperature is about 50, 55, if you can test that, or you can go on the DNR website, I think, has a soil test or a soil temperature guide. You can even just Google soil temperatures in Minnesota and find out your zip code, what's going on there. If it's around that time, or you're seeing the crabgrass sprouting, then you want to get that down as soon as possible. Once the crabgrass sprout, it's past that point, so you want to hit it just before it sprouts. And crabgrass usually grows about the same time as our Kentucky blue. So that's when everything starts greening up. You know, you might have missed it, so a little bit early. So I would say unless you're going to get a heavy rain, it's okay. Just make sure you know what's coming on your yard. If your yard's still frozen, it's way too early. If it looks like it's starting to green up, you're probably okay with it.
Getting a bunch of text messages, Teresa, about putting crabgrass preventer on. You know what? I reminded that on the university website, there's a great section on lawn, a whole lawn care maintenance that we've talked about from time to time. It's a whole program, and it really gives you a nice timeline of what to do when.
A wonderful timeline, and it's always there in case you can't find a master gardener to ask.
Yeah,
or your neighbor who has a perfect lawn.
Yes, extension.umn.edu. We like to mention that because it is such a great resource. A lot of love goes into that.
All kinds of information on there right now. Pruning hydrangeas, and what about the avian flu? Can you feed birds? Yes, you can. What about how to take care of your house plants? Because right now they might be looking kind of tough. There's all kinds of information on there. You can even contact Master Gardeners through that. So you can send them a picture and say, help, what's going on with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Extension.umn.edu. Let's see, here's another text. Boy, we have a bunch. This listener says, I have little white spots on my pothos leaves. What could that be and how can that be taken care of?
I would definitely go to the website, and it could be mealybugs, it could be spider mites, if you're seeing webbing too. There could be other little insects on there. You can try some stuff first. If you can get a magnifying glass and get a good look at it, and then go to the extension website, that will help you and help you direct what to do. Otherwise, you could just try giving it a good shower and see if that wipes it off. If it doesn't seem to make it come off, then you might have an insect or possibly a disease. I can't think of a disease, but an insect. Then try to figure out what that insect is and get a magnifying glass, or send a copy of a picture to the Master Gardeners on the Extension website and see if they can help you with that. It depends on where the spots are on the leaves and what you're seeing, whether they're egg cases or mealybugs or whatever.
Well, very good. A lot of, typically, this time of year, a lot of lawn questions, as you know, Teresa. Mm-hmm. Here's one. Texter says, I have a large areas of dead crabgrass from last year. Now, when I dig it up, it will leave holes in 2 by 2 foot areas. What should I do to grow grass in those areas? What do you think the process is there?
Well, the best process is to know, first of all, that your crabgrass is always going to be dead in the spring. It's an annual. So it only comes from seeds in the spring and late in summer. So it always dies in the frost, which is a good thing. So all you have to do is rake that up really good. You don't even have to dig it. Just rake it up really good where you can see the soil. And then you would want to put down your grass seed. It's called overseeding. And you want to put it down to imagine a square inch of maybe 5 or 6 grass seeds in there. If you go a little heavier, that's okay. You don't want to go super heavy because they choke each other out. And then you just want to make sure you tamp it down so there's really good seed-to-soil connection. And then keep it moist. And we're having a bunch of rain and cooler days, so it's perfect for grass to sprout. Understand, if you seed your grass, your lawn now, you don't want to put down a crabgrass pre-emergent because that would stop those seeds from sprouting too. So if you can thicken up that lawn, that's fantastic. And again, the extension website, extensionumn.edu, will get you the information that you need on how to overseed your lawn properly.
Very good. This listener, and I will then we'll break for weather, the deer have eaten the greens on my arborvitaes. Will the green return? What do you think?
Most of those will come back, even if they've eaten them almost down to the ground. Your arborvitae, I'm sorry, was arborvitae, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if they've nibbled a bunch of it, most of the time there's still growing points on those arborvitaes, and they should come back for you. Just treat them as gently as possible during the year because they've had a tough winter. They got eaten over the winter, and that's hard.
Can grass seed and grub control be applied at the same time?
I would say yes, but I would definitely read the label. An herbicide or a pesticide is totally different from an herbicide. A pesticide works on insects and people and animals. It doesn't work on plants. So you should be able to do the two at the same time, but read the label on your pesticide just in case.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break for that forecast, and then we'll be back with another half hour or so of our Smart Garden Show. So stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you. Either way, if you want to call in or text in, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phone calls, Teresa, let's grab a couple. Bill, calling in from Waverly, I believe, this morning. Bill, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Well, it's sunny here, but I got a question about a dwarf Juliet cherry, but I was wondering why it suckers up so much.
That's just the way that one is.
Okay. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Some plants just sucker, and lots of bushes will sucker or thicken. What you could do is you could actually maybe cut some of those suckers off and make more dwarf Juliet cherries if you wanted. Otherwise, just keep cutting the suckers. You don't want to treat them with an herbicide because they're still attached to the mother plant. So you're getting a real big bang for your buck there with the Juliet cherries. And I'm wondering how sweet they are compared to the regular cherries.
Very good. Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's grab another one before we pick up on the text messages. Ted is calling in from Golden Valley this morning. Ted, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. Over the winter, those little rascally rabbits ate away all the bark from my hydrangeas and Hastania asters. And I'm wondering what you should do. They're, you know, basically bare wood. Do you replace them? Is there some treatment? Cut them down? What?
You can cut off everything that's above where they've eaten, and hopefully then the plant will sucker out like a Juliet cherry, and hopefully will sucker out and send up some more new growth from the roots that are already there. And then, but before you do that, I suggest you take a picture or you put a note in your calendar for next October, the end of October, to say protect the hydrangea and any other plants they've eaten from bunnies. Just put a note in your calendar to remind you to put up a fence next year to protect the plants next year. And then you don't have to worry about it until next year when the note will pop up and remind you that, oh yeah, I had that problem. Let me be proactive here. Good luck on that one.
And Ted, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
I might add, if you cut up a bunch of wine corks as mulch, that really would do. I know who this guy is. How can you mistake that voice, huh?
Well, I try to be a gardener, but I don't even have a thumb, let alone a green thumb. So I'm always trying something. But
well, I was worried you were going
to.
I was worried I was going to get a wine question. So it's like, oh, I don't know.
Well, that would be my second result, is just to sit and open a bottle of wine and watch the darn things dwindle.
That's always a good
response. Choice number two.
All right. Yes.
Ted, great to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you don't know, it was Ted Farrell. Here is our number, 651-461-9226. Yeah, how can you mistake that voice?
Yes.
Texter says this, Teresa. We have two huge hibiscus that every year at this time develop bugs. Is there something preventative that we can do?
You know, you could put in a systemic, but actually the situation is those plants are so stressed at being inside. They're like a kid that wants to get outside into the warm sunshine, which we don't have yet because it's way too early to put out the hibiscus. But they've been under grow lights or not enough light and not enough humidity. They're just not happy. And when they're not happy, they do attract insects, and the insects come from magic places. I don't know how these things get into our houses in the middle of winter, but they do. So just treat it as you normally would, whether it means giving it a bath, a shower would be wonderful. That will brush off a lot of those insects. Or if you have to treat it with soapy water, the insecticidal soap that's approved for hibiscus, do that. But just understand all your houseplants right now that are tropicals are really stressed, and this is a great time to be inspecting them for those insects. It's just something that happens every the end of February on. The houseplants just are stressed because they've had a tough winter too.
All right, very good. Let's see, well, we're getting callers and more texters as well. Let's grab another phone call. Ron is calling in from St. Bonifacius this morning, I believe. Ron, you're first up here. Go ahead. What is your question?
Yes, I overseeded my lawn last fall just before the snow hit, so I was ready for the spring, and my lawn service accidentally put pre-emergent down. Is there anything I can do short of reseeding to get it going?
Not really. No, you could water really, really, really well to wash away that pre-emergent. But other than that, there's not much you can do. Hopefully, maybe your lawn was already sprouting, and so it's past the where the pre-emergent will damage it. But
no,
other
it
than
wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay, other than watering really super well, there's not much you can do. You'll have to overseed again, and you may want to wait till. That won't be until June or July. Ask your lawn service how long that pre-emergent is active. It's usually about 90 days. So that means you can't seed until about 90 days pass. So you may want to just do it all in the fall and then tell your lawn service not to do anything in the spring for you. Sorry about that, Ron.
All right. Good advice. Jim is on the horn, too, calling in from Oakdale this morning, I believe. Jim, thank you. What is your question?
I got about a dozen roses on the north or south side of my house, and I put those styrofoam cones on in the fall. Mm-hmm. I mulch up leaves and put them over their roses. Mm-hmm. Is it too soon to uncover them now with the temperatures we're having?
I would make sure to take the tops off. Hopefully you've already done that so they haven't cooked. Take the tops off. You can start pulling them back a little bit. We're getting 50s and 40s, so unless where you are is going to get down into the lower 40s, into the 30s, don't worry about that. If that's what's happened at night, keep them covered, but take that top off. But if we're hitting 40 most nights for you, you can start to uncover those. That would be okay.
Now, when you say take the tops off, are you meaning the styrofoam or the mulch?
Well, hopefully the styrofoam had a cap on it, so it like a lid, and take that off. Otherwise, I would take the if it doesn't have that, I would definitely remove those cones right away. It can get to 100 degrees in there if the sun shines on it, and that will cook your roses. So you could leave the leaves around it. Just take the styrofoam off then if it doesn't have a top that you can take off. So it's just like a tunnel then, but if it's just the styrofoam without a top, take the whole styrofoam off right away.
All right, very good. I'm going to grab another phone call in a moment, but here's a couple of texts, maybe a quick ones here. Deer have eaten every bud off my 7-foot apple tree. Is my tree dead, do you think?
Nope. You just might not see flowers this year, and you might not get any fruit. They've done some tip pruning for you, which really shouldn't be done, but they did it. So as long as the tree hasn't been girdled and they haven't eaten the branches back to the trunk, and even then, there's still grow points that'll become effective and grow. So you just might not get many apples this year.
Okay. Let's go to Columbia Heights. Mike is calling in from Columbia Heights this morning. Mike, what's your question for Teresa?
Hi. I was wondering if it's all right to plant my boxwood and my yews.
Sure. If you can dig into the soil and you have plants that you need to plant, those perennials are okay to put in the soil now. If your soil's okay, I wouldn't, you know, if you have like tender perennials, don't put those in, or tender annuals. But those shrubs, yep, you can get those in the soil as soon as you can dig the soil. That's okay. If you're able to buy them from the nursery, that means your soil should have thawed out enough that you can plant them.
There's an interesting one. Texter says, I have rubber mulch. This winter, rabbits made their home there.
Oh, it's probably nice and warm.
Nice and warm, yeah.
Yeah.
I have annuals and perennials in this area. Should I attempt to remove the waste left or just take it and cover it up?
Oh, just leave it there. It's a light fertilizer. It'll break down in a month or so, and you won't even know it's there. If it's unsightly, you can just pull the mulch back and put the rabbit poo down on the soil by the plants. It won't burn the plants or anything. It's a real light fertilizer mulch. Gives you some nitrogen.
Dexter wants to know, how do I repair a large area from grub damage?
Make sure that you've treated for the grubs and you've treated them, and then just rake up the grass. And everybody, if your soil is wet, don't rake. If your soil is wet and spongy, don't walk on it. But once it dries out a little bit, then rake up all the dead grass, get as much bare soil as you can see there, and then just overseed and just follow the directions for overseeding, keeping it moist, et cetera, and don't use any crabgrass pre-emergent in that area.
Can I, Texter says, plant perennials like lilies in a raised garden?
You can. What I would do is probably put them more toward the center and perhaps do annuals on the outside. It depends on how high your raised bed is. The closer it is to the ground and attached to the ground, it's going to be able to use the temperature of the soil around it to mitigate any heat or cold. It's going to be able to use the temperature of the soil around it to mitigate any heat or cold. So the frosting and the really hot weather won't damage the roots as much. If it's a really high raised bed, it's more separate from the ground. So it's more impacted by the cold and the frost in the wintertime. That's what you really have to worry about with perennials. And those roots could freeze out for you with the freeze and thaw cycles. So if you have a really high raised bed, I'd say 12 inches or higher, then just plant your perennials in the center and hope there's enough mass there to keep your perennials frozen in the winter. You want them just at one temperature. You don't want them going back and forth between freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, Teresa. We have a few minutes remaining in our Smart Garden Show. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. He'll be joining us next hour. So any kind of a home improvement question you may have, you can ask Andy next hour. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions. And we still have a bunch to go, Teresa. So let's kind of a lightning round. But before we do that, let's, for those that may have missed it, there's going to be a plant sale. What is it, May 20th?
May 20th, Hennepin County is having their plant sale. Ramsey and Dakota are having their plant sales the same day, too. The Hennepin County one is at the Hopkins Pavilion. I believe it starts at 9. Get there early. Bring little wagons or big wagons to fill up your plants. It gets wild and crazy, and we get a lot of people in there, but we've got, I think, over 17,000 plants for you this year.
Wow.
If not more. That might have been last year's, and I think we doubled last year's, but I'm pretty sure it's at least 17,000 waiting for you. And there'll be vegetables and native plants and perennial plants and lots of annuals and lots of master gardeners to answer your questions. And an information booth. So please come.
I would imagine, and we hope you'll be back before then.
Yep, I'll be back before then one time. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please remind us then when you come back, for sure. Actually, a couple of rhododendron questions, but here's one. Rhododendron plant under a pine tree, is it too late to move it?
I would wait until it blooms if you possibly can, and move it as soon as it blooms, as soon as it's finished blooming. Otherwise, go ahead and move it now if you have to. You're moving or there's some construction or something, or you just have to move it. Just have the other hole already dug for it. Lift up as big of a root ball as you possibly can. Set it gently in the other hole and backfill and water in really carefully. If you do it quickly, it might, and don't disturb too many roots, it might not even know it was moved and may bloom for you. Otherwise, you may lose some blooming time this year. But if you can wait till after, that's great. If you can't, do it as gently as possible.
Okay. Lawn question. When is it safe to dethatch my lawn this spring?
You would want to wait until the lawn is up and growing, and then you can use those thatching rakes or machines and go ahead and do that. Definitely look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and check out when they suggest on the lawn care calendar for the dethatching. And then just look about how you're mowing. If you mow high and leave a lot of leaf on there, you shouldn't see a problem with thatch. The leaves break down very quickly. It's when you cut into the stem of the grass, that is more like a straw, and it can cause a thatch problem if you have those issues.
Okay. Let's see. Listener from Annandale writes this. Hi, I purchased on-the-vine tomatoes. The tomatoes were good until I got to the third one. This one was full of sprouted seeds. I planted the seeds in containers. Do you think they will bear fruit?
They probably will bear fruit. I don't know if it will be the same kind. They just got really, 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 really ripe. So you kind of saw what happens in nature on your own tomatoes. And you could have eaten those sprouts. They would be just delicious. Or no, you shouldn't have eaten those because they're sprouts. It depends on how far along they were sprouted. But you should get some, but it was probably, you may get good tomatoes or you may get bad tomatoes. But, yep, they should grow for you.
Okay.
Good luck. Interesting.
This listener is asking, would notching bark of Norway pine that lost major limbs from heavy snow encourage new limb growth, do you think?
I don't think it would. No. No. I would just wait and see once the light starts hitting the trunk of the tree and starts hitting what you're going to see. Usually pines don't sprout out again where things are broken. They don't have growing points like that. They have growing points at the tips. And that's okay. Where they grow. So they don't put out new branches, per se. They put out tips just longer on the ends of the branches.
This listener has snow mold, Teresa. What do I need to do to fix that, they ask?
Well, you can just sit back with a glass of wine and enjoy it and just ignore it. Or you can wait till it's a little drier and just fluff it up a little bit with a rake or something, and it'll just die. It's just there because of the winter conditions that we had. And it doesn't hurt the plants or anything. It just looks really awful. So if you just can't take the look of it, just kind of fluff it up a little bit. That'll dry it enough, and it'll just dissipate and dry up and die. And it's not a problem.
Okay. This listener wants to know, are there any veggies I can put in my garden yet, e.g. onions, bib lettuce, things like that?
Sure. You could be planting your peas, things like that. You can get out there, plant your lettuces. That should be just fine. No problem. All those cool season vegetables you can plant. So those are really good. You could maybe even put in some cabbages and things like that. I would hold off on beans and anything like that for a few more weeks, and then you can get into your beans, and then when it's really warm, you can put your squashes and your tomatoes in. But you can put your cool season crops in, and if you're not sure if something's a cool season crop and you don't have the seed packet, you can check the extension website, and that will tell you right away if it's a cool season crop. But you could get those in now. Unless you're in northern Minnesota and expecting another blizzard, then don't plant your veggies outside.
Bite your tongue. This texter says, I wintered some geraniums in a paper bag in my basement. When can I plant them outside?
It's way too early to plant them outside. You wouldn't want to plant them outside until, say, maybe Memorial Day. But what you could do now, if you have room in the house, you can plant them up in pots now, get them up and growing. And then as soon as it gets warm enough, where our temperatures are say, above 50, 55 every night and every morning, then you can plant them outside. If the ground is nice and warm, you can plant them in the ground or just put them in the containers.
Okay. This listener is writing in from New Ulm, saying, when should I apply my crabgrass preventer? Getting a lot of those questions.
We are. When the soil is about 50 to 55 in your area, that's when you can plant the crabgrass preventer. And you can go online and just Google Soil Temps Minnesota, and you can get to a website there, or from the extension website, you should be able to reach that also. One other indicator is when the lilacs are blooming, and I haven't seen anything like lilacs blooming yet in my area. I know the fruit trees are budding, but the lilacs aren't blooming yet that I've seen.
Teresa, we have less than a minute, about 30 seconds to go here. I want to remind our listeners to head to the Arboretum, right?
Head out there. Head to the Arboretum. Lots of stuff going on out there. Yep.
And the plant sale going to be May 20th. We'll keep reminding you about that. That sounds like a fun event. But we'll have plenty of time to remind our listeners about that very thing. And above all, if you haven't tried it yet, get to the university website. Teresa, what is that?
extension.umn.edu, and enjoy it.
Absolutely. We enjoy your visits every time you're here, Teresa. Thanks so much for your expertise.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis next hour here on 830 WCCO. Overcast 40. We might get 50 today. Stay with us.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yes, indeed. And joining me this morning is Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
We are happy to have you here, and so are our listeners as well, to answer those lawn and garden questions. We're already getting a bunch, so you'll be busy this particular hour. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, we'd love to hear you. If you want to call and chat with Teresa, or if you'd rather just send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. You know, we're getting a bunch of, in fact, I've noticed this, Teresa, the last couple of weeks of the show, questions about voles. This one in particular is a problem with voles. The texter says, we have about an acre of grass with an invisible fence all around for the golden retriever we own. Our lawn is like a sponge from all the vole tunnels. The dog tends to dig where the voles are. How can we get rid of those voles when we have an active dog in the yard? I don't think we can use traps or poison due to the dog. Now, do voles make tunnels? I thought it was moles that did that.
They both make tunnels.
Oh, okay.
The moles are more active during the summertime. But the voles are active all winter long. So they're out there tunneling under and eating the grass roots as they tunnel. And moles are a delicious snack for golden retrievers, I understand. It's on their list of the most favorite foods to eat. That's what I was reading the other day. No, I'm just joking. But that's why your dog is digging, because they're little critters, and dogs would like to chase those and eat those.
Sure. So
that's why they're digging.
But is there something to do about voles?
You know, there's not much you really can do. They're like little field mice. So once the grass gets up and growing and your dog's more active out there, they're going to go somewhere else and find their food, and you won't see as much damage. But all winter long, they were protected by the snow. So they could just dig under and eat some grass roots and make their little tunnels. And that's why you don't see them in the summer. They're just busy doing other little things and more different activities. They're still eating stuff, but they're not as damaging to our lawns in the summertime.
And you're right. They do look like little field mice.
Little field mice, yeah.
Sure, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's grab a phone call this morning, Teresa. Ann, I believe, is calling in from Minneapolis this very morning. Ann, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Dead patches throughout the lawn.
Okay.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
If I dig up the dead patch, the dead grass, and just go down not very far, I'm seeing a lot of white grubs. So how do I kill or get rid of the ones that are there now, and how do I prevent them from returning later?
Okay, Ann, you've done some really good work there. So you've identified that you have a grub problem, so it's not a disease or it's not a vole problem. So that's really good. Now, if you can identify the grubs, that would be fantastic. Go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. And then once you've identified which grub it is, it shouldn't be the Japanese beetles yet, but what grub it is, that will tell you then how to treat it. And then you can go and get your treatment, the pesticide from your local nursery. That would be the best thing to do if you knew what kind of grubs it is. Or you could just go to them and maybe even bring a sample to them and say, I have these grubs in my yard. What can I do now? And they'll talk you through that, through the proper workings, depending upon which pesticide they are suggesting to use. Good luck.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, and she did a lot of good research. She did a lot of good research.
Absolutely, ahead of the game here. Now, there's a related text. My lawn has bare spots, texter says, with a lot of moss. Could jumping worms be the cause? I've come across a few.
The jumping worms could be that problem, but that's probably not the situation you're dealing with. If you have moss, it's there for a reason. It's compacted soil, low organic matter, which means your jumping worms have either taken all the organic matter or you didn't have any in there to begin with, and not a lot of fertility. And there's more moisture, or it's compacted, poor fertility soil, and maybe it just doesn't get a lot of air circulation around it. So if you can change those situations, you can start growing your lawn again. And the jumping worms, they're just out there. You'll just have to deal with them. They're working on ways to get rid of them, but so far nothing is 100% and hasn't been out there for approval.
Okay. You know what you mentioned last time you were on, and I want to hear more about it, there's a special sale happening.
There is. It's in Hennepin County. We're having our sale on May 20th. Ramsey County and Dakota County are also having their plant sale. These are plant sales. Lots of plants grown indoors by master gardeners. We've taken a special care in Minneapolis or in Hennepin County, so you won't get jumping worms. We've got a lot of natives, a lot of vegetables, lots of annual flowers, and then a lot of perennials too. But the best thing is that you will have fast master gardeners everywhere. So it's like an infestation of master gardeners. So you can find somebody to answer your questions, and we'll have an information booth too. And that's on May 20th. The Hennepin County one is at the Hopkins Pavilion. The Ramsey and Dakota County, you'll have to check where they're at, but I want to give them a plug too because we're in this together.
Okay, so it's toward the end of this coming month then?
Yep, May 20th. Yep. All right. Or next month,
Yeah, we'll remind our listeners of that before you leave us today, and again the next time you're visiting, for sure. Good deal. That sounds like fun. Yeah. Here is another text I have. Texter says an 8x8, for sure. Good deal. That sounds like fun. Here is another text I have. Texter says an 8x8 area of daylilies that's been taken over by snow on the mountain. My question is, if I remove the daylilies, spray Roundup in the snow on the mountain, cover the bed with cardboard, then landscape fabric for 2 years, will the soil with added amended soil be okay to put the daylilies back in 2025? Well, there's a looking ahead person.
Wow, that's a plan. You could do that. However, the read the instructions on the container of the herbicide that you're using, and it will tell you how quickly after you have used that you can replant. And I don't think you have to wait 2 years. I think you're waiting a matter of weeks on that one. So you could actually replant your daylilies in the same spot the same season. But do read the instructions. It will tell you when you can plant seeds and when you can plant plants, because there is a difference depending upon what herbicide you use, and each one will have a different situation.
This listener says the deer have eaten off both of my large Annabelle hydrangeas to about 2 feet. Will they still recover and bloom? Should I do anything to encourage new growth?
No, your Annabelles will be just fine. They bloom on new wood, so everything that comes up this year, you'll have beautiful Annabelles. What's left over may leaf out, and those leaves and those branches may help to hold up the heads of the Annabelles because they get so big. So the deer just kind of prune them down a little bit for you, so you can leave them a tip or a thank you letter for helping you prune your hydrangeas.
Excellent. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226 for either your phone call or a text message. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back on the other side. We finally hit 40 degrees. It's going to be kind of a rainy day, a blustery day tomorrow. We'll fill you in just a matter of minutes here on News Talk 830 WCCO. On this final weekend in the month of April, we're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions this very morning. 651-461-9226. Teresa, let's grab a phone call. Barb is on the line calling in from Maplewood this morning. Barb, thank you. What is your question?
Well, I have a 30-plus-year-old. I think it's an arborvita. Is that the one with a cedar type?
Yes,
leaves.
Like with the flat evergreen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was so beautiful last fall, and it's like 30-plus years old. So the main of five trunks that come out of this tree, shrub is so bent over from the snow and ice, the weight of it. I could never get it off in time, the ice and snow. And it is at a 90-degree angle, and we've tried to, you know, lift it up, and but it won't budge. And do I need to just cut it down?
You know, Barb, I would give it the season if you can wait a little while. Give it a month or two. Lots of the times that they'll straighten on their own. If it doesn't straighten or doesn't straighten enough, then you could contact a certified arborist, and ask them if they could wire it, or if it's a possibility that they can help you straighten that one trunk that bent over. I'm really sorry about that. That's tough. But and then at that point, you can decide if you want to just cut out the one trunk. The others will fluff out and fill up. It won't look super good for a little while, but hopefully it can come back to some nice shape that you can live with. Good luck with that one, Barb.
That was a big problem this past season.
Yeah. When we get those heavy snows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's have another look at this text. Greetings. Good morning. Thank you. What patio plants would you recommend to keep mosquitoes away? Wow.
You know, there's a lot of things. Use plants with fragrances. So lots of the flowers will work with fragrances. And a lot of people say lemongrass and lemon-scented plants. So put some herbs and flowers out there. It'll help disguise the fragrance of you that attracts the insects. And hopefully they'll only smell the flowers and the herbs, and they won't smell you and come and get you. That's about all you can really do with plants. Do the fragrant ones if you can handle the fragrance yourself.
Very good. This listener, Teresa, says, when is the best time to apply milky spore powder for Japanese beetle control? How long do I need to keep pets out of the area after application? So a couple of questions.
Okay, so first of all, just to kind of rain on your parade, Mark, milky spore doesn't work that well here in Minnesota. We're just too cold for too long. It just doesn't work that well. So that being said, you can still apply it. Just read the instructions. It will tell you when to apply it, what time of year, and it will tell you everything about milky spore on the package. If it does not, contact the manufacturer, because I don't want to give you the wrong information. The label is the law. So contact the manufacturer and find out from them. If it does not give you clear instructions on it, or wherever you purchased it from, go back there and say, how do I use this? And ask them questions until you get the right answers. Good luck on that.
Teresa, this listener says this, our tree service wants to trim all of our ash trees right now. It seems like it's too late in the season. What are your thoughts?
If they are a certified arborist tree service, go with them. They're okay on that. They know what they're doing. And I would say I would listen to what they're doing. They're certified, they're licensed, and if they're treating your ash trees especially, they'll know how to handle it properly. So I would listen to them if they're certified. If they're not certified, find a certified arborist. Or look at the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. That'll give you some instructions.
This listener's in Carver County and is wondering, is it too early for lawn fertilizer with crabgrass preventer?
You know, it really depends on what your lawn's doing. If the soil temperature is about 50, 55, if you can test that, or you can go on the DNR website, I think, has a soil test or a soil temperature guide. You can either just Google soil temperatures in Minnesota and find out your zip code, what's going on there. If it's around that time, or you're seeing the crabgrass sprouting, then you want to get that down as soon as possible. Once the crabgrass sprout, it's past that point. So you want to hit it just before it sprouts. And crabgrass usually grows about the same time as our Kentucky blue. So that's when everything starts greening up. You know, you might have missed it. So a little bit early. So I would say unless you're going to get a heavy rain, it's okay. Just make sure you know what's coming on your yard. If your yard's still frozen, it's way too early. If it looks like it's starting to green up, you're probably okay with it.
Getting a bunch of text messages, Teresa, about putting crabgrass preventer on. You know what? I reminded that on the university website, there's a great section on a whole lawn care maintenance that we've talked about from time mm-hmm. to time. It's a whole program, and it really gives you a nice timeline of what to do when.
A wonderful timeline, and it's always there in case you can't find a master gardener to ask.
Yeah,
or your neighbor who has a perfect lawn.
Yes, extension.umn.edu. We like to mention that because it is such a great resource. A lot
There's
of love goes into that.
All kinds of information on there right now. Pruning hydrangeas, and what about the avian flu? Can you feed birds? Yes, you can. What about how to take care of your house plants? Because right now they might be looking kind of tough. There's all kinds of information on there. You can even contact Master Gardeners through that. So you can send them a picture and say, help, what's going on with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Extension.umn.edu. Let's see, here's another text. Boy, we have a bunch. This listener says, I have little white spots on my pothos leaves. What could that be and how can that be taken care of?
I would definitely go to the website, and it could be mealybugs, it could be spider mites, if you're seeing webbing too. There could be other little insects on there. You can try some stuff first. If you can get a magnifying glass and get a good look at it, and then go to the extension website, that will help you and help you direct what to do. Otherwise, you could just try giving it a good shower and see if that wipes it off. If it doesn't seem to make it come off, then you might have an insect or possibly a disease. I can't think of a disease, but an insect, then try to figure out what that insect is and get a magnifying glass or send a copy of a picture to the Master Gardeners on the Extension website and see if they can help you with that. It depends on where the spots are on the leaves and what you're seeing, whether they're egg cases or mealybugs or whatever.
Well, very good. A lot of, typically, this time of year, a lot of lawn questions, as you know, Teresa. Mm-hmm. Here's one. Texter says, I have a large areas of dead crabgrass from last year. Now, when I dig it up, it will leave holes in 2 by 2 foot areas. What should I do to grow grass in those areas? What do you think the process is there?
Well, the best process is to know, first of all, that your crabgrass is always going to be dead in the spring. It's an annual. So it only comes from seeds in the spring and late in or on summer. So it always dies in the frost, which is a good thing. So all you have to do is rake that up really good. You don't even have to dig it. Just rake it up really good where you can see the soil. And then you would want to put down your grass seed. It's called overseeding. And you want to put it down to imagine a square inch of maybe 5 or 6 grass seeds in there. If you go a little heavier, that's okay. You don't want to go super heavy because they choke each other out. And then you just want to make sure you tamp it down so there's really good seed-to-soil connection. And then keep it moist. And we're having a bunch of rain and cooler days, so it's perfect for grass to sprout. Understand, if you seed your grass, your lawn now, you don't want to put down a crabgrass pre-emergent because that would stop those seeds from sprouting too. So if you can thicken up that lawn, that's fantastic. And again, the extension website, extensionumn.edu, will get you the information that you need on how to overseed your lawn properly.
Very good. This listener, and I will then we'll break for weather, the deer have eaten the greens on my arborvitaes. Will the green return? What do you think?
Most of those will come back, even if they've eaten them almost down to the ground. Your arborvitae, I'm sorry, was arborvitae, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if they've nibbled a bunch of it, most of the time there's still growing points on those arborvitaes, and they should come back for you. Just treat them as gently as possible during the year because they've had a tough winter. They got eaten over the winter, and that's hard.
Can grass seed and grub control be applied at the same time?
I would say yes, but I would definitely read the label. An herbicide or a pesticide is totally different from an herbicide. A pesticide works on insects and people and animals. It doesn't work on plants. So you should be able to do the two at the same time, but read the label on your pesticide just in case.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break for that forecast, and then we'll be back with another half hour or so of our Smart Garden Show. So stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you. Either way, if you want to call in or text in, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phone calls, Teresa, let's grab a couple. Bill, calling in from Waverly, I believe, this morning. Bill, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Well, it's sunny here, but I got a question about a dwarf Juliet cherry, but I was wondering why it suckers up so much.
That's just the way that one is.
Okay, but
that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Some plants just sucker, and lots of bushes will sucker or thicken. What you could do is you could actually maybe cut some of those suckers off and make more dwarf Juliet cherries if you wanted. Otherwise, just keep cutting the suckers. You don't want to treat them with an herbicide because they're still attached to the mother plant. So you're getting a real big bang for your buck there with the Juliet cherries. And I'm wondering how sweet they are compared to the regular cherries.
Very good. Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's grab another one before we pick up on the text messages. Ted is calling in from Golden Valley this morning. Ted, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. Over the winter, those little rascally rabbits ate away all the bark from my hydrangeas and Hastania asters. And I'm wondering what you should do. They're, you know, basically bare wood. Do you replace them? Is there some treatment? Cut them down? What?
You can cut off everything that's above where they've eaten, and hopefully then the plant will sucker out like a Juliet cherry, and hopefully will sucker out and send up some more new growth from the roots that are already there. And then, but before you do that, I suggest you take a picture or you put a note in your calendar for next October, the end of October, to say, protect the hydrangea and any other plants they've eaten from bunnies. Just put a note in your calendar to remind you to put up a fence next year to protect the plants next year. And then you don't have to worry about it until next year when the note will pop up and remind you that, oh yeah, I had that problem. Let me be proactive here. Good luck on that one.
And Ted, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
I might add, if you cut up a bunch of wine corks as mulch, that really would do. I know who this guy is. How can you mistake that voice, huh?
I try to be a gardener, but I don't even have a thumb, let alone a green thumb. So I'm always trying something.
Well, I was worried you were going to.
I
was worried I was going to get a wine question. So it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Well. That would be my second result, is just to sit and open a bottle of wine and watch the darn things dwindle.
That's always a good
response. Choice number two.
All right. Yes.
Ted, great to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, if you don't know, it was Ted Farrell. Here is our number, 651-461-9226. Yeah, how can you mistake that voice?
Yes.
Texter says this, Teresa. We have two huge hibiscus that every year at this time develop bugs. Is there something preventative that we can do?
You know, you could put in a systemic, but actually the situation is those plants are so stressed at being inside. They're like a kid that wants to get outside into the warm sunshine, which we don't have yet because it's way too early to put out the hibiscus. But they've been under grow lights or not enough light and not enough humidity. They're just not happy. And when they're not happy, they do attract insects, and the insects come from magic places. I don't know how these things get into our houses in the middle of winter, but they do. So just treat that as you normally would, whether it means giving it a bath, a shower would be wonderful. That will brush off a lot of those insects. Or if you have to treat it with soapy water, the insecticidal soap that's approved for hibiscus, do that. But just understand all your houseplants right now that are tropicals are really stressed, and this is a great time to be inspecting them for those insects. It's just something that happens every the end of February on, the house plants just are stressed because they've had a tough winter too.
All right, very good. Let's see, well, we're getting callers and more texters as well. Let's grab another phone call. Ron is calling in from St. Bonifacius this morning, I believe. Ron, you're first up here. Go ahead. What is your question?
Yes, I overseeded my lawn last fall just before the snow hit, so I was ready for the spring, and my lawn service accidentally put pre-emergent down. Is there anything I can do short of reseeding to get it going?
Not really, no. You could water really, really, really well to wash away that pre-emergent, but other than that, there's not much you can do. Hopefully, maybe your lawn was already sprouting, and so it's past the where the pre-emergent will damage it. But
no,
other
it
than
wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay, other than watering really super well, there's not much you can do. You'll have to overseed again, and you may want to wait till. That won't be until June or July. Ask your lawn service how long that pre-emergent is active. It's usually about 90 days. So that means you can't seed until about 90 days pass. So you may want to just do it all in the fall and then tell your lawn service not to do anything in the spring for you. Sorry about that, Ron.
All right. Good advice. Jim is on the horn, too, calling in from Oakdale this morning, I believe. Jim, thank you. What is your question?
I got about a dozen roses on the north or south side of my house, and I put those styrofoam cones on in the fall. Mm-hmm. I mulch up leaves and put them over their roses. Mm-hmm. Is it too soon to uncover them now with the temperatures we're having?
I would make sure to take the tops off. Hopefully you've already done that so they haven't cooked. Take the tops off. You can start pulling them back a little bit. We're getting 50s and 40s, so unless where you are is going to get down into the lower 40s, into the 30s, don't worry about that. If that's what's happened at night, keep them covered, but take that top off. But if we're hitting 40 most nights for you, you can start to uncover those. That would be okay.
Now, when you say take the tops off, are you meaning the styrofoam or the mulch?
Well, hopefully the styrofoam had a cap on it, so it like a lid, and take that off. Otherwise, I would take the if it doesn't have that, I would definitely remove those cones right away. It can get to 100 degrees in there if the sun shines on it, and that will cook your roses. So you could leave the leaves around it. Just take the styrofoam off then if it doesn't have a top that you can take off. So it's just like a tunnel then, but if it's just the styrofoam without a top, take the whole styrofoam off right away.
All right, very good. I'm going to grab another phone call in a moment, but here's a couple of texts, maybe a quick ones here. Deer have eaten every bud off my 7-foot apple tree. Is my tree dead, do you think?
Nope. You just might not see flowers this year, and you might not get any fruit. They've done some tip pruning for you, which really shouldn't be done, but they did it. So as long as the tree hasn't been girdled and they haven't eaten the branches back to the trunk, and even then, there's still grow points that'll become effective and grow. So you just might not get many apples this year.
Okay. Let's go to Columbia Heights. Mike is calling in from Columbia Heights this morning. Mike, what's your question for Teresa?
Hi. I was wondering if it's all right to plant my boxwood and my yews.
Sure. If you can dig into the soil and you have plants that you need to plant, those perennials are okay to put in the soil now. If your soil's okay, I wouldn't, you know, if you have like tender perennials, don't put those in, or tender annuals. But those shrubs, yep, you can get those in the soil as soon as you can dig the soil. That's okay. If you're able to buy them from the nursery, that means your soil should have thawed out enough that you can plant them.
Here's an interesting one. Texter says, I have rubber mulch. This winter, rabbits made their home there.
Oh, it's probably nice and warm.
Nice and warm, yeah. I have annuals and perennials in this area. Should I attempt to remove the waste left or just take it and cover it up?
Oh, just leave it there. It's a light fertilizer. It'll break down in a month or so, and you won't even know it's there. If it's unsightly, you can just pull the mulch back and put the rabbit poo down on the soil by the plants. It won't burn the plants or anything. It's a real light fertilizer mulch. Gives you some nitrogen.
Dexter wants to know, how do I repair a large area from grub damage?
Make sure that you've treated for the grubs and you've treated them. and then just rake up the grass. And everybody, if your soil is wet, don't rake. If your soil is wet and spongy, don't walk on it. But once it dries out a little bit, then rake up all the dead grass, get as much bare soil as you can see there, and then just overseed and just keep, just follow the directions for overseeding, keeping it moist, et cetera, et cetera. And don't use any crabgrass pre-emergent in that area.
Can I, Texter says, plant perennials like lilies in a raised garden?
You can. What I would do is probably put them more toward the center and perhaps do annuals on the outside. It depends on how high your raised bed is. The closer it is to the ground and attached to the ground, it's going to be able to use the temperature of the soil around it to mitigate any heat or cold. It's going to be able to use the temperature of the soil around it to mitigate any heat or cold. So the frosting and the really hot weather won't damage the roots as much. If it's a really high raised bed, it's more separate from the ground. So it's more impacted by the cold and the frost in the wintertime. That's what you really have to worry about with perennials. And those roots could freeze out for you with the freeze and thaw cycles. So if you have a really high raised bed, I'd say 12 inches or higher, then just plant your perennials in the center and hope there's enough mass there to keep your perennials frozen in the winter. You want them just at one temperature. You don't want them going back and forth between freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, Teresa. We have a few minutes remaining in our Smart Garden Show. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. He'll be joining us next hour. So any kind of a home improvement question you may have, you can ask Andy next hour. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions. And we still have a bunch to go, Teresa. So let's kind of a lightning round. But before we do that, let's, for those that may have missed it, there's going to be a plant sale. What is it, May 20th?
May 20th, Hennepin County is having their plant sale. Ramsey and Dakota are having their plant sales the same day, too. The Hennepin County one is at the Hopkins Pavilion. I believe it starts at 9. Get there early. Bring little wagons or big wagons to fill up your plants. It gets wild and crazy, and we get a lot of people in there, but we've got, I think, over 17,000 plants for you this year.
Wow.
If not more. That might have been last year's, and I think we doubled last year's, but I'm pretty sure it's at least 17,000 waiting for you. And there'll be vegetables and native plants and perennial plants and lots of annuals and lots of master gardeners to answer your questions and an information booth. So please come.
I would imagine, and we hope you'll be back before then.
Yep, I'll be back before then one time. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please remind us then when you come back, for sure. Actually a couple of rhododendron questions, but here's one. Rhododendron plant under a pine tree. Is it too late to move it?
I would wait until it blooms if you possibly can, and move it as soon as it blooms, as soon as it's finished blooming. Otherwise, go ahead and move it now if you have to. You're moving or there's some construction or something, or you just have to move it. Just have the other hole already dug for it. Lift up as big of a root ball as you possibly can, set it gently in the other hole, and backfill and water in really carefully. If you do it quickly, it might, and don't disturb too many roots, it might not even know it was moved and may bloom for you. Otherwise, you may lose some blooming time this year. But if you can wait till after, that's great. If you can't, do it as gently as possible.
Okay. Lawn question. When is it safe to dethatch my lawn this spring?
You would want to wait until the lawn is up and growing, and then you can use those thatching rakes or machines and go ahead and do that. Definitely look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and check out when they suggest on the lawn care calendar for the dethatching. And then just look about how you're mowing. If you mow high and leave a lot of leaf on there, you shouldn't see a problem with thatch. The leaves break down very quickly. It's when you cut into the stem of the grass, that is more like a straw, and it can cause a thatch problem if you have those issues.
Okay. Let's see. Listener from Annandale writes this. Hi, I purchased on-the-vine tomatoes. The tomatoes were good until I got to the third one. This one was full of sprouted seeds. I planted the seeds in containers. Do you think they will bear fruit?
They probably will bear fruit. I don't know if it will be the same kind. They just got really, 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 really ripe. So you kind of saw what happens in nature on your own tomatoes. And you could have eaten those sprouts. They would be just delicious. Or no, you shouldn't have eaten those because they're sprouts. It depends on how far along they were sprouted. But you should get some. But it was probably, you may get good tomatoes or you may get bad tomatoes. But, yep, they should grow for you.
Okay.
Good luck. Interesting.
This listener is asking, would notching bark of Norway pine that lost major limbs from heavy snow encourage new limb growth, do you think?
I don't think it would. No. No, I would just wait and see once the light starts hitting the trunk of the tree and starts hitting what you're going to see. Usually pines don't sprout out again where things are broken. They don't have growing points like that. They have growing points at the tips, and that's okay. Where they grow. So they don't put out new branches per se. They put out tips just longer on the ends of the branches.
This listener has snow mold, Teresa. What do I need to do to fix that, they ask.
Well, you can just sit back with a glass of wine and enjoy it and just ignore it. Or you can wait till it's a little drier and just fluff it up a little bit with a rake or something, and it'll just die. It's just there because of the winter conditions that we had, and it doesn't hurt the plants or anything. It just looks really awful. So if you just can't take the look of it, just kind of fluff it up a little bit. That'll dry it enough, and it'll just dissipate and dry up and die, and it's not a problem.
Okay. This listener wants to know, are there any veggies I can put in my garden yet, e.g. onions, bib lettuce, things like that?
Sure. You could be planting your peas, things like that. You can get out there, plant your lettuces. That should be just fine. No problem. All those cool season vegetables you can plant. So those are really good. You could maybe even put in some cabbages and things like that. I would hold off on beans and anything like that for a few more weeks, and then you can get into your beans, and then when it's really warm, you can put your squashes and your tomatoes in. But you can put your cool season crops in, and if you're not sure if something's a cool season crop and you don't have the seed packet, you can check the extension website, and that will tell you right away if it's a cool season crop. But you could get those in now. Unless you're in northern Minnesota and expecting another blizzard, then don't plant your veggies outside.
Bite your tongue. This texter says, I wintered some geraniums in a paper bag in my basement. When can I plant them outside?
It's way too early to plant them outside. You wouldn't want to plant them outside until, say, maybe Memorial Day. But what you could do now, if you have room in the house, you can plant them up in pots now, get them up and growing. And then as soon as it gets warm enough, where our temperatures are say, above 50, 55 every night and every morning, then you can plant them outside. If the ground is nice and warm, you can plant them in the ground or just put them in the containers.
Okay. This listener is writing in from New Ulm, saying, when should I apply my crabgrass preventer? Getting a lot of those questions.
We are. When the soil's about 50 to 55 in your area, that's when you can plant the crabgrass preventer. And you can go online and just Google Soil Temps Minnesota, and you can get to a website there, or from the extension website, you should be able to reach that also. One other indicator is when the lilacs are blooming, and I haven't seen anything like lilacs blooming yet in my area. I know the fruit trees are budding, but the lilacs aren't blooming yet that I've seen.
Teresa, we have less than a minute, about 30 seconds to go here. I want to remind our listeners to head to the Arboretum, right? Get
head
out
to the
there.
Arboretum. Lots of stuff going on out there. Yep.
And the plant sale is going to be May 20th. We'll keep reminding you about that. That sounds like a fun event. But we'll have plenty of time to remind our listeners about that very thing. And above all, if you haven't tried it yet, get to the university website. Teresa, what is that?
extension.umn.edu, and enjoy it.
Absolutely. We enjoy your visits every time you're here, Teresa. Thanks so much for your expertise.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis next hour here on 830 WCCO. Overcast 40. We might get 50 today. Stay with us.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Guys, it's no use putting it off. The best time for an underwear refresh is now. Tommy John underwear is designed for a perfect fit that stays put all day. There's zero chafe thanks to 4 times more stretch than competing brands, and their innovative horizontal quick draw fly is a game changer. With over 30 million pairs sold, there are thousands of men out there more comfortable than you. Don't settle for less. Go to TommyJohn.com today for 25% off your first order with code COMFORT. That's TommyJohn.com, code COMFORT. Tommy John. Comfort perfected.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.